Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Oh, that's a fine finish.
Roberts back inside for Brownhill.
Robert, here we go.
That's great, Roberts. Benson now has got the chance to run at circuit. He's done better against him. Benson comes inside, gets the cross in. Oh, he got it! Benson! It's 2-2! Doesn't be a back level. It's Zorori, into the box, looking to take men off. One coming on his right foot.
Oh, no! Oh, what a finish! Zorori!
Here's Benson, skips past Worf, into the box now, Benson. Can he finish it?
Oh, he can! That is magic! Well, Benson, I tell you, that's top class.
Hurry now. Can he take his man on here? Look, he's got on the outside. Decent.
Oh, he got it! Ashley Barnes with it! What a cross from Zorori! And there is Ashley Barnes to finish it!
Fuller uses Cork. Keller again. It's it off. Brownhill to reach it. Into the box now, Brownhill. He's looking for Barnes. Can he finish it?
He can! It's Ashley Barnes, he's dead! 3-0 for Berlin! And the Clarence are going top for the championship!
Good evening. Welcome to another Burnley Mundial podcast. Joined by our stat genius, stat whiz, Chris. How are you doing? You all right, mate?
Oh, good. Thanks, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. You're ready for the Easter weekend football feast.
Yeah, as always. Yeah. Just get up to Borough tomorrow night and hopefully get up.
Oh, lovely. Going up there, yeah. There'd be
a
good few amount going up there for potentially a promotion party, but we'll discuss that, I think, later on. Let's get that up there, see if anyone's jumped in and watching. I don't think there is. There's a couple watching, but that's fine. We'll just let everybody know on Twitter really quick that we're live. Where are we? We're in. Right, so first up, we'll have a quick discussion, probably looking back to the Sunderland game. At first I thought it were a disappointing sort of 0-0. I came off quite frustrated, but looking back and then the results that followed that weekend, it actually turned out to be quite a decent point. Really, what did you make of that Sunderland game?
Yeah, I think you've probably summed it up. Like, probably a better point on Saturday than it was on Friday night when Borough lose, and you think, well, you take it. But from our point of view, I think we set ourselves that high standards this season at times that when you fall short of it, you can kind of get away with it and you win 1-0. But when you fall as short as they probably did against Sunderland, you will draw these sort of games. But in fairness, at the time, I thought we were really poor and I thought, you know what, I was disappointed. But Sunderland made it that difficult for us to play.
Yeah,
it was... Watch out. Sunderland made it that difficult to play that I don't know what else we could have done. I think they're the best team to come and press. I'm not saying they're the best team we've played all season, because that's probably not true, but
yeah,
pressure-wise, they come man for man. They were brave, you know, and like they stepped onto Cullen and stopped us playing. They step on the centre-halves and we did struggle to play through.
Yeah.
It was a really tough... It was a slog, I'd call it. Probably a slog.
Yeah, I think Tony Mowbray learnt a few things after... Obviously, we went up there and beat them 4-2, didn't we? And they were 2-0 up and cruising, and we clawed it back. And I think you learnt a lot that, you know, you can't let us build up play from the back. You can't let us use Muric as that 11th outfield player. And they really hammered us at the back. What do you think about Ould Bellis coming straight back in?
I don't think it was necessarily. I didn't think he was that. Like, he didn't seem as good as he did before he come back. But he's not played for that long. You can understand that. I think it was more the fact that he brought Howard Bellis back in, who hadn't played for what was it, 3 months? He was out in the end, near enough. Yeah. You know, Brownhill was out for a few weeks, wasn't he? And then you kind of bring Benson, hadn't played any football really.
Yeah,
and you probably got away with one. But when you bring three back in who haven't played, it did look a little bit disjointed at times.
Yeah. And I think off the back of an international break as well, where we had like 2 weeks of, you know, no sort of like competitive football for the lads. Like, a lot of the most of the lads went and played various minutes here and there, but to bring in like a quarter of your team being fresh, you know, straight from long term injuries and start them and expect to pick up, and then the current players that have been there only to just gel with them. I thought it was a bit of a task. And I don't like getting, you know, slagging company, but I think he did get that one wrong. I do think he did. I thought he should have just kept what's been working.
I agree.
You know, get 2-0 up, bring in THB on at half time, bring Benson on at half time, you know, drip feed these players back in, let them gradually get back into it, and reward your players in, you know, that have been there for you throughout that hard period without THB and all them. So,
yeah, no, I agree. To be fair, I was when I went down in the car, my brother said to me going down, he's like, "Our Bellis will start tonight." I said, "No, he won't." And as it turned out, he was right, but.
Yeah, it does make you wonder, doesn't it, if he actually has like a, there's this like weird wild rumour that he has a clause in his contract that if he's fit, he's got to play, you know.
Yeah, sometimes there was a thing with Liverpool at one point, where if he didn't play, there was like financial penalties involved in play. So whether there's something like that, I don't know, but
yeah, it'd be strange if company didn't allow that to happen, because that seems that seemed to go against what he wants to do, which is just pick his best team possible.
But... Yeah, for me, principally, he picked his best team possible. I do think Harold Bellis is probably the second best defender we've got behind Bayer. And I think he did pick the best team he probably had available to him. But in doing so, I don't think it was probably the right thing to do with players being in that side who hadn't played for so long.
Yeah. I think it's, on that, I said, on the whole, at the point, it's a good point. I think it's still a point on the way. It's a point closer to the goal of getting promoted. So, you know, looking back at the time, it was frustrating, but seeing Middlesbrough getting pumped by Huddersfield and, you know, it did just feel frustrating, but it felt like it was just that we needed it to get blow the cobwebs off after a few weeks and, you know, shake off that City result and, you know, hopefully. You know, that's the back of that now. We can just kick on because we've got two pretty solid games. But I would like to mention Sunderland. I thought they were a pretty decent outfit, to be fair.
I think that, like I said, the bravery to come and actually play against us.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the goal that was disallowed, but then they didn't. Yeah. They hit the bar, didn't they? So they had chances.
Yeah.
But I think to come and play, most teams just come and cop out and sit off and think, well, go on, try and break us down. And that's not the way to come and beat us, because we'll always break you down.
Yeah. I think all season we've been joking, saying, like, it's too easy and, like, games have no jeopardy on them. And then when we do get a game where someone's given us a game, we're now moaning that it's too difficult, let us score 5. But I think Sunderland, though, I think they're probably just a number 9 away from being a decent championship outfit, to be fair. I think they can get a regular goal scorer.
They've got Ross Stewart, to be fair, haven't they? But he's been injured loads this season. Yeah. If he'd have been fit the whole season, I think they'd probably be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't think that's like far-fetched.
No, I think not on the whole. Anyway, part of that game now is done. It's over. It's on to the potential Easter promotion party. Is it happening? Is it happening tomorrow?
I want to say it is, and I do. I'm really hopeful that we can, but if I'm going to be realistic and be honest, I'm not sure it is, and that's not necessarily because I don't think we'll go and beat Borough, because on the night we could do, but we'll have to play better than we did against Sunderland. I just think Luton will probably get a win at Millwall. And I know it's not an easy game, but Millwall are on a little bit of a downer now, and Luton certainly are. I just worry that it might be taken out of our hands and kill the day before it's even started.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's a question of us. I think I do think we'll go up to Middlesbrough, and I do think we'll get 3 points against them. I think we'll be keen to shift that Sunderland game to one side, and I think like Wheeling, Middlesbrough will try to play a little bit like us. They'll be trying to keep the ball a bit more and retain the ball, and then try and, you know, like be a bit more direct with Akpom. But I think that'll, is it Akpom?
Yeah.
I think that'll play into our hands a bit more. I think we'll prefer that, a team stepping onto us, so it means we can break some lines. So I think it's more of a, we're relying on Luton, I think, Friday to get us promoted.
Yeah,
I think it's a question of us, I think.
Listen, the advantage you've got is, regardless of how well Luton are doing, and how, like, Millwall are in a little bit of a slump, but I think Millwall, I could be wrong, but I think they've lost once at home since September in the league.
Right.
So, and I think it was Huddersfield who beat them, ironically, down the bottom. But you've still got to be very good to go there and win. It's, as much as Millwall are probably struggling a little bit now, and I think they are right on the fringes of the playoffs, aren't they, like with Blackburn, but you've still got to be tip-top to go there and win. It is a difficult game. No matter how well Millwall are doing, that'll always be a difficult game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think
there is that element.
They gave us a really good game when we went down to their place, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And when they got the equaliser, you thought, God. They're a good side. Yeah. Listen, on the day, going to the Den, because they need points. They're at a like squeaky bum time. Norwich play Blackburn as well, though. This is someone's dropping points. So if they win, they're pulling away from someone. So this is the kind of chance you think, well, if we win here, they'll be wanting points equally as much. It's that time of season, isn't it? There's no such thing as like an easy game now. You know, even when we go to Reading, all of a sudden they're desperate for points.
Yeah, I know. And that changes that dynamic.
The dynamic of that game's changed. Same with Rotherham; they might need points now.
Yeah,
there's no easy game. And then we've got Cardiff last game of the season, haven't we? I think.
Yeah, they could be fighting for it.
And
as well, aren't
they? They're right down there.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Now I was looking at the playoff picture now, and it's like Luton are on 67, and then Millwall are on 61, so Luton, they're probably looking at that and they're probably feeling a bit more comfortable, obviously they'll want to win, but you know, Millwall are going to need to win more, because then there's two teams below them all ready to catch them, especially like say with Norwich playing Blackburn.
Yeah, Norwich, I think Norwich and Blackburn are like 6th and 7th or something like that as well.
Yeah, but Rovers are on 61 and Norwich are on 57, so a win for Norwich pulls them right back into the playoff picture. Millwall hopefully can capitalise on that. So we're all 12 o'clock Saturday, we're all Millwall fans, aren't we?
We're all Millwall, for once. And it's not even like the, you know, sometimes with the playoffs towards the end of the season, you get third and fourth kind of playing for position because they want to play who's sixth, but there's none of that now, because
people start trying.
You start trying, I say, well, we'll not win that because I'd rather play them, and we're not at that stage yet because there's that many teams down that you can't do it.
Yeah,
Millwall, you know, so Luton will be going for points just as much, but it'll be. At least we know before we play. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Dan from Turf Moor, I was hoping you're well, mate. I know you've had a bit of a rough time of it recently. We're all thinking of you, pal, and cheers for jumping on. And Dan thinks that promotion is guaranteed at home on Monday. I think that's probably the general consensus we're all
saying. I think I probably agree with that.
So Borough then Friday night, what are they gonna offer us? What challenge are we gonna face against them?
I think, like you said, they're going to come and play like we play, and they're going to go and have a go, aren't they? But Swansea coming out a go at us, and we beat them 4-0.
Yeah.
You know, Borough, when we play Borough at home, don't forget, they were flying at the minute. When Borough come to us at home, everyone thought, these are going to give you a game.
Yeah.
And they I don't know if this is true, but I think they had two shots on target in the game. One was the one that Benson gifted him and they scored, and the other was the penalty that the ref gifted him, and I think they were the only two shots they had all game. I'm sure that's, or maybe they have three, they didn't have much that whole game, they had next to nothing.
Yeah, I remember it not being as difficult a game as
No, it wasn't. And everyone thought...
Expected. Yeah.
Listen, they were all right when they come. But as soon as we got the ball back, you can play around these teams. Because when you open up,
yeah,
and we're open up, you give us the ball back and we can find these spaces. And like you said, it's probably a game that suits us. Rather than someone sitting in, hoofing the ball back and, all right, we'll break us down. Because it can be difficult. That can be difficult.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, it can be quite, especially if you're a team that wants to play football and is drilled into just playing football, it's hard to sort of counteract that. You know, that sort of nullifying style in it. That shows that sort of splits the best teams apart, doesn't it? That those that can break any style of play down. And
to be honest, like largely this season, we have been able to break those sort of teams down. As we struggled a bit early on, like up until October, and then we found a stride and we were just beating everyone, weren't we? But
yeah,
I think at the minute, like Blackpool, we struggled a little bit to break them down. Sunderland, we struggled to break them down.
Yeah,
there's been times again lately where when teams have done that, we have struggled a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see what we sort of play like against someone who's going to open out a bit.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting to see how they're going to react after that defeat against
Well, Boston. Yeah, this is it, yeah.
That was an absolute freak of a result. I think it busted everybody's coupons that weekend.
It could work either way, though, because now they're that far behind Sheffield United, who've also got a game in hand. You think, psychologically, you're thinking, we're never going to catch them. We've got Burnley as well. We've got to beat them.
Like a preservation mode of let's just keep stay ready for the playoffs. And
that's it, isn't it? They always say about the playoffs, you've got to go into it informed, don't they?
Yeah, you've got to be in a good stride. You can't have any good results. Like that, the year we went through the playoffs under Coyle, we were like floundering in mid-table, weren't we? And then all of a sudden we just...
All of a sudden just burst through.
Picked up a few results and just snuck in, didn't we? Yeah, it was a good way to do it. Yeah, their last results for Middlesbrough were obviously Huddersfield got beat 4-2, but then they battered Preston 4-1, which isn't that difficult, I don't think. But then you got Middlesbrough, they drew with Stoke at home. So,
and do you know what? That night, Stoke should have beat him as well.
Really?
Stoke should have beat him that night. But Stoke, I think, at the minute, are flying themselves.
Yeah, they're doing really well, actually. They're doing well. Stoke Sport this morning talking about how they've just picked up form and... Stuff like that.
Like we said before we come on, on the night, it just could go either way. You don't know what team's going to turn up, do you? I think they've sold out, haven't they? So it's 30,000.
Yeah, I think we've sold our allocation. I think there's quite a lot going up there without tickets as well that are going to try and get tickets and just be there just in case it happens. And I say, we'll all know more after 12 o'clock Saturday, won't we? What's happening with our promotion thing? But it'd be interesting to see a little bit of a head-to-head with Akpom and Teller on the day as well. See who's going to come out on top there.
I do quite like Akpom.
I do.
He's a good player and he's got that size, strength, like pace. Yeah. He's powerful. He's a good player. But he's come out of nowhere, really, hasn't he? Because last season, everyone was like, he'd been passed about, hadn't he, different teams, and then he's found a home here now.
Yeah.
I think he's got 25, hasn't he?
The comment from Trout Toffee, cheers for watching, mate. Just commenting, getting stuck in. He says, do you see a way back into the team for J-Rod once he's fit? Do we have any news on when J-Rod's fit?
I think he's training.
Which usually means he's nearly there.
It's that sentiment. The thing I always say about J-Rod, if you put sentiment aside and he wasn't a Burnley lad, you'd say no. But I do still think he's a really good footballer. I just don't think he'll get back into the team. Yeah, but I said this about Barnes at the start of the season. I thought, Barnes is finished, man. Like he was awful and then he's come out of nowhere. So I wouldn't dismiss him like 100%. But either Barnes or J-Rod is going to go this summer, I think. Because to make way for another striker.
Yeah, I could see both going.
As much as I don't really
want both of them to go. One of them will have to go, but I probably think both will end up going. Personally.
It's a shame because people forget about J-Rod. Up until November, when we had the World Cup break, he was flying, and he was. I think he had 9 goals, didn't he, up until November.
He was such a point of the team as well.
Like, yeah,
he won every ball in the air. He brought stuff down. He brought other people into play.
Like, yeah, he's linking play
point for company. And,
and he got that injury, didn't he, before Blackburn? You're like, and he just never come back, has he? Really?
Yeah, it's a shame because that Barnes performance could have easily been Jay, couldn't it? In the dark, Jay would have loved that just as much as Barnes he did. But
I can't see him coming back.
Well, to answer dropped off his question, I think I don't see him not in these games that mean something. You know, I don't think he makes his way, not to the starting 11 anyway. He might get a few bench appearances, but I think until the title's wrapped up, I don't think he's going to squeeze into this team, unfortunately, for Jay. You know, if it does get wrapped up pretty soon in the next few weeks of the title, and maybe the last few games, he'll sort of let Jay have a run out as a sort of farewell type thing, I don't know, but then again, would I see company doing something like that and probably putting his footballing morals aside for sentiment? I don't know. He seems pretty, focused on things, doesn't he? So, long and short of it, I don't think he'll be back in the team, to be honest. So, how do you see, what's your predictions for the game then, Friday? What are you saying? Put your neck on the block.
I'm gonna sit on the fence. I'm gonna go 1-1. I think it's gonna be a tricky game for us. I don't know. I wouldn't like to give a prediction until after half two when I know what's at stake, because I think that could change the dynamic of the game altogether.
I think we're fairly certain that there's going to be some sort of documentary about this team in there. I think, have you seen all like the cameras? So I'm interested to see the footage from that this moment on from Friday. Like, what's the mentality shift like?
Yeah.
If Luton drop points, like, do they? You know, will they just kick into gear, or will it? Because a lot of these players have never been in this position, have they? A lot of young lads have never been at the top of a table and had to chase down a title and stuff like that. So
to be fair, like, most of these lads probably hadn't even heard of Luton before they come in the summer, and now they like be watching their result.
Yeah, celebrating Millwall.
I honestly, if I was going to be honest, I think if Luton win, and we can't go up, I do think we'll draw. But if Luton drop points, I just can see us just being relentless and really getting something, turning it on.
It'd be good to get it. As much as I'd like to see it on the turf on Monday, because I'll be there, but it'd be good to get it done. Just it's like this, it's like the plaster now. You're reluctant. You just need to rip it off. Get it done. We've known about this since. I mean, I've been confident since January, pretty much, that there's not much better in this league that's going to hunt us down.
No, there's not. Like round Christmas time when we won probably five in a row, didn't we, over Christmas? And people were dropping points, and you were looking, you're like, oh, big game this now. We can go 7 clear. Yeah. Big game this now. We can go 10. 12, and all of a sudden it was 17, and you're like, it's done now.
Yeah, job done, yeah.
Yeah, it's, realistic. We should have just had that P next to us in February.
Yeah, we could have.
It was done.
We could have. Was there a chance to get it done earlier, or?
I think we'd have had to just keep winning and winning and winning
and winning. We'd have to keep that winning run up, wouldn't we?
Winning run up. Because I think Borough had a good few wins in a row, didn't
they? They just kept winning, didn't they, as well? They kept winning. If they had just dropped a few more points, we'd have been all right. But like you said, I think it's down to Luton, isn't it? I think it's up to them who goes up on Friday. I think it's their decision.
It's in their hands now, isn't it? So. Yeah.
But that being said, I think, is right, regardless what happens on Friday, if we beat Sheffield United Monday, we can get promoted. Have I worked out that?
I don't know. I've been that blinkered by Friday night, and I don't know. I presume if regardless of what Luton do, if we win our next two or get 4 points, maybe we'd be off. I don't know.
Well, don't forget, clear of Middlesbrough, and
the games are whittling down week on week. So Luton have only got 7 left, haven't they?
Yeah.
So
run out of hands, run out of fingers and toes.
Yeah, there's too much maths to it. Someone out there will be able to work it out.
Yeah, someone's watching, someone just tell us, because they can't be arsed working that. I'm hoping it comes to Monday and we can have a bit of a celebration, a bit of a promotion party.
Yeah, I think I do think it'll happen this weekend. It's just whether it's Friday or Monday.
Yeah, so we're moving on to Monday then. Sheffield United, obviously, I'm keen to get rid of that. Get revenge back for that 5-2 beating against the Givers, because yeah. I were on holiday when it happened and it proper like pissed me off on holiday. I was sat with my little lad watching in the little bar, nice weather, and then I saw that next to some Sheffield United fans and I was just, pissed off.
It's just took the words out of my mouth. I'll be honest with you, I've been waiting for this to come round for a long time because there's just something about it. Like, it's not even that we got beat 5-2, because everyone knows it weren't a 5-2 game, but it's the way people's like...
They did such a job on us, didn't they?
Yeah, like, and I don't, like, yeah.
They did a job on us. They knew exactly... It was like a cheat code, how they knew how to score every time.
Yeah.
So they manufactured that situation and just scored every time.
Yeah, it just plays so on my mind. Like, there was the incident, obviously, with Jack Robinson, weren't there, when he absolutely rattled Benson early on.
Yeah,
and
I
thought, you are horrible. Then Benson mugged him off and scored at half time. You think, right, that's it. He's mugged you off. And then he ended up scoring, didn't he? And you're like, he lives in my head rent-free, I'll be honest with you, but I can't. I just need to beat him. I've actually got, I've had it saved since November when they beat us. Someone, a Sheffield United fan, tweeted something like saying, what time's the award ceremony? He's like, we'll be there at 5-2. And I've saved it in my phone ever since because I'm waiting to batter him on Monday.
Yeah, I really hope we do. I'm hoping that they're in the sort of similar position to us and they're just sort of like waiting to get promoted, but they're focusing on the semi-final. I think that's what I'm hoping for. They're putting all their eggs in that semi-final basket.
To be fair, straight after that game, Company said, didn't he? He was like, they've got to come to our place. Like, he'll want to win this as much as anyone in that ground.
Yeah, even after the City game, even though we knew it, we expected that we were going to get beaten, we did, we got battered, he was like, you could sense he was so pissed off. Even though it was his club and his team, he was so pissed off at that.
And
I think if you'd have let him play for another 3 hours, I think he'd have really tried his best just to call it back. He was really annoyed.
That Sheffield United game's the one, City aside, you discount that.
Yeah, it is.
The Sheffield United game's the one real blotch on his record this year. Like, you can stomach losing to Watford two games into a season. It happens. You stomach it. And Watford, then we should have beat Watford at home. But this one, he'll be looking at and thinking that it's like retribution time this now.
Yeah.
Because we are far better than him. Like, I know they beat us 5-2, but on the day, it wasn't a 5-2 game. And I'll die on the hill for that. They weren't that good on the day. They just peppered us with set pieces and we had no Brownhill, no Barnes.
No.
And I don't know, did Cork play that day maybe? Yeah. Brownhill was suspended, I know that. We just missed height, we missed leaders in the team that day and we'll have them this time.
I think Sheffield, they had a good few shithouses on the pitch, you know what I mean? They knew how to get at the younger lads, got better Benson rattled, and I remember loads of niggly challenges going in on Teller, and they targeted our obviously the newer recruits, and it worked that day. It did work because it got in their heads. So
they've had lads who've been around the block, like Sharps, 30 odd,
McBurney, Norwood,
McBurney's, Norwoods, Stevens, they've been promoted, Egan, promoted, Fodderingham must be 30s, George Baldock promoted. I don't think Stevens is still there, but they've got lads who've been here, done it.
Yeah,
now they've got the lads from City as well, obviously, McAtee and Doyle. Two good players, and that Doyle's got an unbelievable set piece delivery as well, which we'll have to. I'm sure they'll just be abusing.
Right, it's hot on our patch. I think turf will be bouncing because I think everyone will just be on piss all day, won't they? Really, Easter Monday.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Easter Monday, yeah.
Yeah, turf will be bouncing. It'll be packed house. Especially if we have a positive result Friday. I think it'd be a tough place to come. Just get through a few comments we've had come in, and it's most we've ever had. I've only done this twice, but most we've ever had. Loads of comments. M. Match is watching. He just said, just a look at the table, shows how much attention I've been paying. Didn't even realise Luton were level on points with Borough. Sat here wondering what Luton got to do with it. Yeah, like, they've really surprised me. Like, with, what's he called, Rob Edwards going in from Watford, he's completely turned them around again and got them firing. I think I'm just looking at the
table. Yeah,
yeah. They are, like, we're talking about Middlesbrough chasing the top two now, but like Luton, exact same points. Like, they have every right to chase us down as well. They chase Sheffield United down. So, what do you think to Luton being in the Premier League? Like, are you for it, against it, or don't really give a shit? But I kind of like the idea of.
Yeah, I'm for it because I'm sick of like Watford and West Brom going up. Like, it's boring, do you know what I mean? Like, listen, I don't know if anyone. I went to Luton the other week, and like that ground ain't ready for the Premier League, but it is a laugh. Like, it's a laugh. It's just it's that bad. It's like it's like a throwback. It's that like bad. It's good, but it'd be good to see them go up. It's something different. Like, no one
did. Luton used to have a plastic pitch.
I don't know.
I'm gonna have to Google that.
It's boring. No one enjoys seeing Watford, Norwich, West Brom like bounce up and down. It's boring. Like, I wouldn't even be bothered about seeing Millwall go up, I'll be honest.
No,
that's controversial, but I think it'd be funny for a year.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see like West Ham.
Wouldn't be funny for Met Police, but like it'd be a Met Police nightmare.
Too right, it would. Another one from Trap Toffee again. He says, what are your views on personal changes for next season? Will we see wholesale changes? I think we'll retain, re-sign the core of the squad. I think pretty much all the loan signings, minus that, is it Derek Sogno? Is he a loan signer? Have we signed him?
He's on loan,
He's on loan, I don't think we'll be keeping him. But I think
he won't come back.
I think we'll re-sign all the loan signings we can. Seems positive about Arwood Bellis. It's just, I saw a link between Newcastle and Arwood Bellis, and I thought, shit, if they throw money at it, City would be obviously more inclined to sell for big money than let him come on a loan.
Yeah.
And if he's persuaded to go, because that is a project a bit at Newcastle, and if they finish Champions League football, you can't really begrudge THB for him. I hope he'd stay, because he's enjoyed his comments, recent comments have been positive.
The thing we've got in our advantage with Arwood Bellis, probably more so than the rest, is the company factor. The centre half, he went with him to Anderlecht, didn't he? Then he come to Burnley, centre half. Bellis is from City, and you've got the company factor, so you don't that be enough to get him back.
Yeah,
but there will be Premier League teams looking at him.
Of course, he will, and rightly so, because I don't think
he's
same with Bayer. He's not Championship quality.
No, it's easy to forget how good Howard Bellis was because he's been injured.
He's still in the team of the season, based on
I've seen that.
Even though he's been missing for like 3 months, you know, he's
still in the team of the season.
It's nuts.
One
thing that concerned me with Teller, with getting him on, is if Southampton do go down.
I worry about Teller.
Southampton need him.
and that's what worries me. But because if you went, say you went to Coventry and you want to sign Gyökeres, you're talking 20 million.
Yeah, it's so done, isn't it?
When you go to Southampton and you say, well, we want to sign Teller, how many goals has he scored? So 70, lads, 20 million.
That's two million a goal straight away.
And all of a sudden, for a player who was probably worth 5 million at the start of the season, they're wanting 20 because he scored that many goals. And personally, I don't think Teller's worth 20 million.
No.
He's not worth 20 million. But he could be worth 20 million with the goals he scores in the Prem, because for what he is or what he isn't, he puts the ball in the net.
I know.
And it's priceless.
He's just found like the right club and the right style that suits him.
Yeah.
And it's working. And I think it would be daft for us to want to. Like, I want him to stay because I've really fallen.
Fell in love with a loan player.
Yeah, I fell in love with him. he gets it, you know, like with that picture. He's gone down in like Burnley history with that picture.
I think it's
like that'll be there for a long time. That's up there with you know, it's the equivalent of like fucking David Dunn on there, you know, winding up in like mid-2000s. Like, he's just gone to that level, and I wouldn't want to see him play for anybody else just yet.
No.
But I don't want to be paying 30 plus because he's. As far as I'm concerned, he's unproven in the Premier League.
This is the thing.
All we've seen is him do it for in the Championship.
So, you can't get mugged off, and like what you've got to remember as well, there'll be players in the summer, from foreign and whether the Championship, wherever, that'll be chomping at the bit to come and play one under Company and two in the Prem. So you've seen the players we signed at Championship, like Benson, Zorori, Bayer, Championship level. That really. When they come in, allegedly, they come to play in the Championship. So you're thinking, well, what sort of players could he attract to come and play in the Prem?
I know, it opened up a whole new window, doesn't it?
And the thing is, I say to people as well, when we cleared out in the summer, we got rid of, Sir Peters, Lowton will go again. But these lads were on probably 30 grand a week Premier League money. Sir Benson, Zorori, these lads won't be anywhere near 30 grand a week in the Championship. They'll be coming in and going up to 30 grand a week. Yeah. So all of a sudden, you're left with them extra money on wages and that Premier League money. I do think they'll spend a fair chunk in the summer. But some of them loan players coming back, it'll cost a lot of money, won't they?
They will do, It's
Some of them might be best trying to get back on loan, perhaps. I know you can have two in the Prem, can't you, from England.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario would probably be THB. I think you've got Ian Madsen, and I think he's probably going to be... he doesn't know what his position is at Chelsea, but...
Well, Chelsea don't even have a manager as well, do they?
They've just got Frank Lampard into the end of the season, so they don't even know what's happening after that. So he'll probably want to be looking for some stability, won't he, and get somewhere. So I don't think he'll be an expensive purchase, though, to be honest. I think he'll be 5-6 million, I think, which I don't think is too bad. But again, it's that he's only done it in the Premier League, in the Championship. He needs to do it in the Premier League, and it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? So...
Yeah, it's relentless every week. It's not like a one-off game at Bournemouth or it's every week, isn't it?
Yeah. Every game's massive, isn't it, next season? You're not really going to get an easy game next season. I'd like to think that if Southampton did go down, we could maybe come to another agreement of maybe even doing another loan, a loan to buy, you know, with like a staying in the league clause or whatever. But again, Southampton are going to be probably looking at retaining it because they're not going to be able to recruit the players that they want next season.
No, and they'll have to get rid of some of the lads, like Ward-Prowse won't play in the Championship.
No, well,
they've got lads who won't play in the Championship.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to sell, aren't they?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that pans out. What else have we got in? Oh, we've got anti-footballs in. Funny, have you seen too much of anti-football?
Yeah.
Funny. Love it, absolutely love it. I say, she's buzzing off for tits for the massive weekend. We'll end up promoted one way or another. I like that. I like the vibe. Unlike Chris, party pooper.
Positive,
We've got another Chris is in. Chris Reed, got to be honest, I want to win it. Or he means wants to go up on Monday. I do. I think we'll go up Monday. I think it's written. Monday night, under the lights. Let everybody else in the Championship play. Top two go against each other. And we get promoted live on Sky. I think it's absolutely.
I wonder though, if we could actually be promoted, if we didn't get promoted on tomorrow, whether we'd be promoted before we even played on Monday.
Yeah, could it be done?
Could it be done before we kicked the ball?
Yeah, I wonder. Let's have a quick look at the fixtures then.
There must be some sort of permutation here because after Monday, after Middlesbrough and Luton have played Monday, they'd only have five games left.
Yeah.
So if there was still a like 17 point gap that it is now, is it?
Yeah.
So, we'd have to be 15 points.
So Middlesbrough 16 away, points. City away at R5. So there's chances are we could actually start that game against Sheffield promoted if we beat Middlesbrough and then they don't pick any, they don't pick 3 points up against City. So
well, depending on what Luton do, I guess. Yeah.
Well, of course, yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, we've just been talking about we neglected Luton. Luton can actually end up this week third.
Oh, no.
Luton are on the Luton at home to Blackpool, so
that's 3 points.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
You'd have thought, yeah.
They're pretty, pretty pants, aren't they? Right. Tell you what, we'll have a quick look then at the table before we wrap it up. I think. Let's see if we can share this. Championship table. There we go. So we are there, top of the pile, as per, nice and, it's been there for a while, it's boring now really, isn't it? nothing but greens and greys on there now for us. So what are we saying for the playoffs then, who's finishing where are you thinking now?
I think 3 and 4 will be them two, not necessarily as it is, but 3 and 4 will be them two. Five, Millwall. I do think Millwall probably have enough to stay in there.
Yeah.
And 6, anyone but Blackburn. Just
the political answer. Yeah, I think
I still think Blackburn will just have got it in him to just slip up. It happens every season.
Yeah.
Then I look at the chasing pack and I'm like, is anyone going to put a run together to catch him? And I don't know.
No. Well,
listen, if Norwich beat Blackburn, it's squeaky bum time.
Yeah, it's game on, isn't it? It's game on.
Yeah. If Norwich get a result there, it's squeaky bum time.
Yeah. Because Clive wants to thought we'd be talking about promotion at the beginning of the season and Easter, not me.
Mate, I am. I had a 10 on us to win the league, 18-1.
Did you?
Easy.
Fair play. I'll be honest, I didn't.
I thought we'd be round about playoffs.
I just thought like companies are different. Like you saw, like mediocre he was in Anderlecht. I just thought he's going to take a season to settle in, and he's not even played. He's never even played Championship football. So.
No. I thought we'd be round playoffs.
Yeah, I thought we'd be probably where like Coventry, West Brom are at this stage, and try and have a push towards the back end, but.
How many unbeaten are we at the minute? Is it 18, 17?
Yeah, I think it's 18, yeah.
Because we must be closing in on 23 now.
Well, yeah, we've got enough time to do it, haven't we? That would be a summer.
We'd beat that if we...
Quick look at the arse end of the table. Pretty tight, isn't it, down there, really, from Queen's Park downwards.
Bottom two are going.
Yeah, I think Reading now have thrown a spanner in the works on their 6-point deduction.
Reading are awful as well.
Yeah, Reading.
But Birmingham.
One of my best mates is a Reading fan, and he hates it when I talk about Reading.
I grew up in Wigan, so not the best seeing Wigan bottom. Though they were better than us for my whole childhood.
But Wigan need to learn a hard lesson. They need to get their shit together with the wages and.
Wigan are gone.
They had a weird flex of, oh, we've paid our players early this month. It's nothing to be proud of. Fair enough, it's a step in the right direction. Turf Morehouse is still watching. Dan's still watching. Appreciate that. I suppose I'm not bored you to death, mate. Your streams are always full of fun and games and laughter. He says, when can we guarantee the title? I have no idea. Terrible podcasting.
Maths isn't the strong point.
It's got to be soon.
He's
on Twitter. He does all that. Ryan, if you watch, I don't think you are. He posts now and then, when can we win something? Don't know if I can find it.
Do you know what? If Sheffield United lost on Friday, lost tomorrow, then we beat him. Oh, no, we'd only be 17 clear, so I don't think we can win it against Sheffield now. So it'd be Reading, maybe?
Yeah, Reading. I think it would actually. I think I've seen that.
Reading if Sheffield lost both.
Yeah.
And maybe Rotherham if Sheffield won one.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I think it's going to be an away game. I think that come
Rotherham. I'll put my neck on the line and go, it'll be at Rotherham.
He's saying Rotherham. He's locked it in. Rotherham.
Damn, I've locked Rotherham. In Rotherham. I think we could do it at Reading, but I'm going to lock in Rotherham.
Yeah, he's locked in Rotherham. There you go, Dan. Rotherham. So if you've not got a ticket, get a ticket for Rotherham because we'll win it title.
I think that's sold out as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it has to be fair. The demand for tickets has, this week has, yeah, has been a joke. And I say I went in the ballot for Rovers tickets. Didn't get them, so
well,
what can you do? It's, a lot of people don't like it, a lot of people piss them on, but it was the fairest way of doing it. I thought, you ain't going to please everyone. It was the hottest ticket in town.
It's not on, it's not on Burnley at the end of the day, it's on Blackburn for giving us 2,000. Yeah. That's like, yeah. I don't get it. People say, "Oh, well, they only give us 2,000." Like, we can't give you any more. We couldn't give you any more.
Yeah, I understand. Like, from a like an intimidation, it's our patch. We do what we want on our turf. Yeah. Our stadium. I get that sense of it. It just still feels really bitter and like really petty. But I do sort of understand it. Like, I wouldn't want Rovers coming to us. Fucking 7,000 fans about to win the title at a fucking canter, and just us spend 90 minutes pummeling them, beating them 5-0,
yeah, and chasing shadows.
I would not want that at our place. Yeah. But anyway, hopefully that they can sort it out for next season with the ticket inside of it all, because obviously demand's going to go up for next season. So hopefully more people can get on games. But that's a different. I could fill a whole podcast ticket, and that seems to be a hot topic. Chris Rito says, enjoyed that, first time I've listened. Cheers, Chris, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris,
joining on. I say we're just starting this out, we're on the baby stage. I think we're just sort of gearing up, ready for next season, and we'll get more content pumped out. Any more comments to get through? And Max says, at the start of the season, looking at all the changes, the upper mid table at best, so this is phenomenal. Yeah, I think, like I said on another podcast, in this one, like, enjoy this season because football shouldn't be like this.
No.
Like, we shouldn't be sat here just like waxing lyrical about how good we are. Like, I kind of miss like pissing and moaning about Dash's 4-4-2 a little bit in a weird, twisted way.
It won't be like this for like next season when you're sort of grinding out results and you're thinking, God, like, where's our next win coming from? Because eventually we will reach that stage.
Yeah.
It won't always be like this.
Start next season, I don't think it'll be. I think we'll really. There's a lot of lads that have not played that higher level, you know, and I think that Premier League's a tough league now. Like, the standards getting. Like, that. The Big Six is now looking like the Big Eight, you know what I mean?
It's
two divisions within the Premier League.
That's what it is now. I think there's like. If you're not fighting relegation, you're battling for Europe, aren't you? It's like. There's none of that no man's land in mid table anymore. It's like you're fighting for Europe or you're fighting relegation. It's like two leagues of 10, isn't it?
Yeah. He said it on the podcast, the like Talk Sport podcast I listened to. He said it is like that now. Like, you're either, you know, fighting for your life or you're pushing for European football. Yeah. There's no in between anymore.
It's mad because, like, when Emery took over at Villa, they were battling relegation and now they're seventh.
Yeah, I know. Like, they're sneaking. They're so sad creeping up that league and they've done so well. And even Brighton are ridiculous. Like,
yeah, they're a good side.
They're so good.
I was at Old Trafford last night. I was disappointed with Brentford. They were poor last night.
I think they'll filter out. I think that'll catch up with them, that little form they've been on. But it'd be good to actually talk about us playing against the best teams next season, because, like I say, we're definitely going up. It's all done. Great, be looking forward to it. So I think we've hit the 45-minute mark, so I think we're going to wrap it up there. So, Chris, where can everyone find you? I know you're the stat man. You need to tweet more stats out.
I know. I'll get a stat pack up.
That I've enjoyed, but get your stats out.
I'll get a stat pack up for tomorrow's game. So you can find me at Chris_Wilson6. So if you just look at the tweet on Burnley Monday, you'll see me tagged in there somewhere.
Yeah. Like,
so I'll get a stat back up for tomorrow.
Yeah, get following Chris. He's good at stats. He knows the game inside out, so he's good. So, yeah, appreciate you guys for listening and joining in, people on the live. And in a couple of hours, you could be able to get this down, like just the audio version of this on all the podcast places that you get it from. But, yeah, appreciate you listening. And, yeah, cheers for watching, guys. It's not finishing. This is an awkward end to the show, isn't it? There we go. Sports Social Podcast Network.